to be your saint, too weary. Pure and holy, tried and true, with thanksgiving, I'll be a living sanctuary for you.
Lord,
prepare me to be your
sanctuary. You're an holy, be tried and true, with thanksgiving, I'll be your living sanctuary.
Amen. To be a sanctuary for the Lord. Start young and build it right.
Amen.
Good to see everybody in the house of the Lord. If you'd like to turn in your scriptures, turn back where we've been reading from 2 Peter 1. Glad to have Amy and Jeffrey back with us. I see they made it through. So, you know. Now they're settled down. Find out what it is to be a husband and a wife.
Amen.
Just pray for us. The Lord willing, we'll be leaving. I will be Thursday morning, about 8-something out of Atlanta, going to Jamaica to be there with them for the weekend. Be coming back in on Tuesday. So just keep us in your prayers that the Lord would bless and give us a good time, and I'm sure He will. Always do have a good time and there with the brothers and sisters, so just pray that everything is well. Amen. 2 Peter 1. Father, we thank You. We love You. Lord, we know that there's one thing that we desire more than anything else, and You know that is our desire, and that is to serve You and to, Lord, to walk in Your Word and to see Your Word unfold. And Lord, we always go praying just for one little nugget, one little crumb from the table of our Master. And Lord, we always receive that. We thank You. You've never failed us yet. So we pray that You would just bless and guide now as we try to deliver back to the people what You've given unto us. And we ask You to just forgive our sins and cleanse us and lead us by Thine understanding and plant us in Thy Word that we may walk in the light. We love You, Father. Just touch each one. You said in Your Word that You sent Your Word and healed us and delivered us from destruction. So we depend upon it. Just have Your way now and keep us in Jesus' name. Amen. 2 Peter, you notice we just read one or two verses, and then we add a verse, and we add another verse, and everything. So that just kind of climbs up a little bit at a time now. 2 Peter 1, verse 1. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us, through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Now, as I said, not written to the world, is it? No, it's written to those in Christ Jesus. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. According as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue, called to a wonderful position, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust, and beside this, given all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's go on to the ninth verse. But he that lacketh these things is blind, and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. You may be seated. The Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. Now, I got up to a place this morning to speak a little bit on what the thought was. And so what we'll do is we'll just take the evening message and preach it and break high for the morning message after that. So going to be here at 6 o'clock. No, we'll just try to bring it in. We'll use what was on the morning's message to just illustrate what we're talking about. Because what are we trying to speak on? Someone has commented unto us to speak on the stature of a perfect man. Now, the stature of a perfect man is the stature of Jesus Christ. Because none of us can ever think about, or needs to never think about, or have any thoughts in whatsoever in our mind that we are perfect. But yet, if we don't confess what he says about us, then no one can ever attain unto the position that he has spoken about us. All right? So we must declare that he has said that we are perfect by being in Jesus Christ. See, not in ourselves. See? Our righteousness, the Bible said, is as filthy rags in the sight of God. So we don't declare anything. We depend upon what he said and what he done. Now the prophet said if we was to be perfect, and said if God required it, and said he did require it, because he said, be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect. He said then he had to make a way for that to be able to be done. He said he done it.
Right. Amen.
All right? Now, see, don't look for him to do it.
Hallelujah.
Look to the fact that he's already done it.
Amen.
See, depending upon what he has done and what he will, you know, has said unto us. But asking him to reveal that unto us. See, head knowledge is not in the stature of a perfect man. That's when it says knowledge there, that's not head knowledge.
See,
no, that's Holy Ghost knowledge. And see, then we want to get into seeing something this afternoon a little bit, and we'll just title the message Growth Development, which will be number 5 on the stature of a perfect man. And I know I'm slow, and I'm sorry about that. I've just always been that way. If I'd have finished school, it would have probably took me 13 years, and I just didn't. I quit before I got that far. But I've always been slow about that, but I try to build something right. When I'm building a building, I'm building a room, I'm building something, or I try to build it right because I want it to last, you know, because there's no need of building if you're thinking about it going to be thrown away, you know, you might as well forget it. Right? And I like to do that in the gospel. I like to build something to where that when someone looks at it, at least they'll say, well, he did say what the prophet said. He did say what the Bible said. And maybe that's the reason we've got very few comments, if any at all, hardly, back upon the basis of being now about 3 or 4 years on the internet system with it, of to take the message to the people, because at least even my greatest critics, I believe, would say, well, he does say what the prophet says, you know, and that's what I want it to be. All right, but now listen. We were talking about the new birth. And the new birth is the birth of the Word. The disciples took the word that the Lord Jesus had sowed down in their heart. They held on to that word. They went to the upper room. Like I said, the other 380, that was because it was seen of better than 500 brethren after the resurrection. They didn't hold on. But 120 of them held on to what he had said. And they went up and they waited. And he made it manifest. He gave the birth. And it was the birth of the word. And it's always been the new birth. It's the same in every age. It's the birth of the Word. It's the birth of the Word of that age that we're living in. All right, now, everybody understand that part? All right, do you understand something else that I've said over and over and over? The Bible is written to where that it can apply to different stages of development, different thoughts now. That's why people will say, well, that's just what you think about it. This is what I think about it. Well, see, that won't work. No, it's not that way. It can't be that way. The Bible can't be that confused, and God can't be that confused. All right? But see, it's written to where that it can apply, and then it can just keep applying until it comes to the final application. And just like the new birth. I believe that the new birth is the birth of the Word. And it's the birth of God into your soul. All right. That leaves your body and your spirit as a human element that must be brought under subjection to the one that's within you. But one day when we step out of this world into eternity, we will have then a eternal body, eternal spirit, eternal soul. Then you can say, I'm born again. I am a new creature in Christ Jesus. That's why we're saying this morning the prophet went to the future home. And the great things that he was speaking of, he said, I want to make sure that you get the new birth. Because whatever the application, remember future home, the application for the individual is the same as the world. Okay. See, the world went through in the days of Noah, a washing, justification. Jesus shed his blood upon it to cleanse it and sanctify it. And one day it will receive a fiery baptism. And to clean off and burn off all sin in any form. See, all right. See, then you go back to the individual and same thing takes place in us. All right. But the thing of what I want us to see is we get ours here. The world is still waiting. See? But we have already went through the three processes for the soul and we have eternal life here. The world doesn't have eternal life at this existence. You know, it's not eternal. It's a natural carnal world. But by the new birth, we went ahead. All right. By that going ahead by the new birth, then we can walk right on in through all of the natural. And the scriptures that speaking of the new birth for you and I, for the individual, can then speak of a time that the world will be made eternal. All right, so it goes from partial, and I gave you some quotes there where that you'd have them and they'll be on the internet. It goes from partial to perfect realization. All right, now, partial realization. All right, the prophet would use negative to positive, and a lot of people argued about that point because they didn't understand what he was saying. Negative seems to go that away. Positive that away, see? Alright. But he explains it then if you keep reading. Well, I've got the quotes, yes, but just keep reading what he's saying.
Right.
Until you come out with an understanding from him that he said it's not negative or an opposition or partial realization is not an opposition to something. It's partial or part. That's what it means, partial, part. It's part realization.
Right.
All right. But then one day it will be perfect realization. See? But it's the same realization, it's just more of it. Like we were talking today outside about the headstone, the cornerstone. See? They rejected the headstone because Jesus brought around and said the headstone rode into Jerusalem on a white donkey Palm Sunday, April 30, AD, April the 2nd, AD 30. All right. But see, that was the headstone. But they rejected him. Well, he couldn't be the headstone then to the New Testament church, so he became the cornerstone. All right? But what's the difference in the cornerstone and the headstone? The different position and whatever it takes to say like this. As far as the chemical analysis, now listen, the DNA, or what you call those big words and things, the makeup of my body, there's no difference in the DNA of my feet than my head. Right? Right? But wouldn't that be a problem to be all foot? I know you think I'm all mouth, but it'd be bad if I was all foot. No. But see, there's got to be a foot. There's got to be a foundation. All right? So he was the cornerstone to the church.
Amen.
But Brother Brown said it like this. He said, in the full church. In other words, when the church is complete.
Right.
He said he'll be the headstone.
Amen.
Right. And that's why I gave you some quotes there throughout the message where he was talking about the headstone hadn't come yet.
Right.
He said, this is the age, this is the time for the coming of the headstone.
Amen.
So the disciples, yet they had those virtues as far as on the stature of a perfect man, and they added up to where it says the Holy Spirit, but they didn't have the headstone because it hadn't come. The headstone is the end time message to be brought by the prophet. You agree?
Amen.
All right. See, then it hadn't come yet. But it was there in a partial realization, because the headstone can't be different from the cornerstone. And once you get it, you can just take that head, turn it down on the corner. Why? Because it all fits. So partial realization in comparison to perfect realization. In other words, receiving something partial. Now let's see if you'll agree to this. And I just have to say that you're very carnal if you wouldn't. I'm sorry for saying it like that, but how many of you have got everything at one time, you know, in Revelation? You know that don't work. It's gradually unfolding. Right? Gradually unfolding. See, you couldn't stand it all at once. I mean, you know, you just couldn't stand it if it come all at once. I mean, so God, He gradually unveils it. Like the growth of a child. We were talking a while ago about it. You take a baby and, you know, I mean, you, sometimes I'll be away or do something, you know, from somebody and see them and I see a child, you know, and say, boy, that child, 3 or 4 months, man, they've grown like everything. But you know, mom and daddy, they don't think they've grown. Why? Because they've been there with ever gradual movement the child has made and it doesn't look like a lot of growth development. Right? But see, we keep looking at mom and daddy, we get messed up. Let's look at what God says about it, all right? But now listen. A growth development. How does a natural child grow? By eating. How does a spiritual child grow? By eating Greer's Almanac. Reading the newspaper? No. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word. How does a spiritual baby grow? By hearing the Word of God. Now listen. Not just hearing by itself. The baby, you can say, look here. Look at this piece of chicken. And the little kid said, ooh, that's good chicken. Yeah, it's got the vitamins, it's got the minerals, it's got. But that ain't what the baby wants. The baby don't care how many vitamins and minerals is in it. They want you to shut your mouth and let it go to eating on the piece of chicken. Right? See, it's the revealed Word that causes growth development in the spiritual child. The revealed Word. That's why it's so important then that we preach the gospel correctly. Because the prophet said false prophets produce false birth. But he said true prophets produce true. And he's talking about, and he goes on there to say preachers, you know. Alright. Now we know he brought the message. He brought the message to us. Alright. But now that's 40 years ago. The Lord, that he ended his part of doing. And what have we been doing? I thought we believed that he was told not to go overseas and not to do this and that and the other, but to store up food. Isn't that right? To where that it could be passed out after his passing on. Right? He knew he wasn't going to be here. Like Brother Moat, the finest teacher that I've ever known of in the message, and I wouldn't argue with no one, but yet, Brother Moat said, I watched the gift. I was not that concerned about what he was saying. He said, because I was caught up in watching the gift work.
Right.
He said, when he passed on, he said, then that got out of my eyes and I got down to what he was saying.
Right.
All right. See, that he couldn't stay here.
Right.
He looked like he'd say, well, boy, it'd been good if he's here, but he couldn't stay here.
Right.
John said, I must decrease that he might increase. Another one coming on the scene. All right, now. Growth development comes by eating.
Right.
All right. Just keep eating. But now, in the natural, I know we all can tell that a whole lot. We have a lot that goes in the mouth that doesn't do us much good. Right? You know why? Because it's too much of it. Right? You're only going to consume so much. Now, you know, without being too far gone on what we're saying, the rest is going away. You know, right? It's going to be ejected because it has no position, no place. All right? And it's going away. So then, in the spiritual, a lot of times would you admit, you maybe would read a book, you maybe would hear a tape, you maybe would read your Bible, or listen to the Bible being read, and wouldn't get anything. Would you agree? You know, it's just like words. You know, and I'm sorry that I'm not comparison. But it's just like reading a novel or reading a book or, you know, like Brother Tom used to talk about them old war stories there in the Old Testament, you know, where there's fighting and killing and all like that. But you see, every once in a while, though, then something clicks. You know, and Brother Gary and I talk about this a lot. I would love for it to be that I'd get a whole lot more of them clicks, you know. But sometimes he doesn't do it that way.
Right.
He just clicks and then he'll leave me alone. And sometimes I preach 3 months off that last time that he clicked a little bit of the opening of the scripture, you know, or gave me a little something to understand. I just keep preaching it until he gives me another word,
right.
You know, because that's, you know, and I told you, don't feel bad about turning in something for me to speak on because that tickles me to death. Because I don't have to worry about getting that next click. You know, from the Lord. It kind of relaxes me because I can just kind of float along and preach off of my past reading and notes and in comparison to try to help someone that would have a question about what it is, you know, that's on their mind. So it really helps me. But then something will come along. Now, okay, that's as far as we can go because we're going to get on this because he's given me another word to bring. All right. Give us this day our daily bread. All right. Now, listen. So then, the stature of a perfect man. What is Ephesians 4, 13? Is that what it is? I think that's it. Ephesians 4, 13 is the only time in the New Testament, speaking of anyone like the body or anything, that the word stature is used. That's used in the Old Testament. Like, you know, the different one. Let me check it. It's 3. Well, I got it wrote down somewhere. Ephesians 3, 14. Okay. Well, Ephesians 3, 14. Let me get my notes. I better find it. Ephesians 4, 13. I'm backwards. All y'all was going and I was going the other way. That's reading 3. It's 4:13. Watch. Now he's talking about the fivefold ministry of, you know, coming down. He ascended and gave gifts unto men, and that's the fivefold ministry. And that's the 11th verse. And then for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. All right. Now, someone has to come to that place.
That's right.
Because that is the condition that will have to exist for the change.
Right.
All right. Now, he grew to a stature.
Right.
Doesn't mean height of body-wise. It's development in the Christian experience. All right. He's expecting you and I to come to that place.
Right.
Now, don't worry about it. We're not going to take his place.
Right.
We're not going to take Brother Brandon's place.
Right. Right.
But all of us together. It said, till we all come.
That's right. Right.
Now, here's my definition of a change. You know, rapture, change, the moment, twinkle of an eye. When that scripture is fulfilled.
Right.
When we all, around the world, come to the unity.
Right.
Now, that doesn't mean we're going to say, David says cat, and I say cat. Somebody in China says cat. No, no, no. That wouldn't be a body. That wouldn't be a body that everybody has to build. The body coming together of the Word.
Right.
But we'll come into the stature of the fullness of Christ. Then there'll be a change. Because where else would you go? Because there's not nothing, there's not anything beyond that position that I know of in the Bible than to come to that stature other than walking off the earth.
Right.
Because that's what happened to him. Alright, but now listen. To do that, then we must have these virtues. We won't dwell on that as much today, but we will dwell on one thing. Faith. Faith is a new birth.
Right.
On the bottom of the pyramid, you see faith. But if you notice in your reading, it didn't say add faith. True. It says, add to your faith.
Right.
Faith is a birth.
Amen.
It's a birth.
Right.
All right. It's given unto you.
Right.
It's a revelation. Faith, revelation. All right.
Right.
Then you add virtue to your faith. See? Now watch. Here's my way of seeing it. See, then virtue is given unto you, and watch, to place on your faith, or to become part of your faith or part of your revelation. We know what virtue is. It's strength. Strength is given to you because of your revelation. Alright. Now, but before we get into that too much, I want to just take a little point. See, this age you and I are living in, is promised to come to the place or position of the fullness of the stature of Christ, see, fulfilling Joel 2 of the restoration. All right. Now, restoration is not replacement, right? Now, so then, if restoration means true that it's not replacement, then the identical same ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ will be here before we go there. That's all I contend for. Around the world now. Not in one person, because it doesn't do that. Not in two, three, four. Now, in the entire body of Christ around the world. All I'm concerned with, the part we have. If we're a fingernail, let's get that place made. Let everybody else worry about all these other things. We just be what we're supposed to be. I'm happy with that. I don't know why everybody else is not happy. Then I'm happy with just being what I am. Because I'm not trying to be anything else other than that. Now, how can we attain unto these virtues? We need these things.
Amen.
Forgive me, just lately my sinus is aggravating enough, I reckon, that I can slow down. But listen, The only way I know that you can grow into the stature of a perfect man is one thing, that just what I've got through covering, is by the opening of the Word. The eating of the Word. The revealing of the Word. Now, not just studying the Word, but for it to be revealed to you what you need. You need a certain vitamin. It's there for you. Now, here's the point I want to make. So, think on this little thought. Brother Branham on page, I think it's 27, Stature of a Perfect Man. He says, these things are automatically added. Now, that one little statement, I believe, needs clarification. Because to take that as literally what it's saying, automatically added. That looks like that the way of our human thinking, that we don't have anything to do with it. No. So listen to the way I wrote it. Brother Brennan said these things are automatically added. He did not say they were automatically there. There's a lot of difference in the two statements. So if you're saying automatically added just means, well, it's just automatically added. You're saying it's there. No. It's not there. It's got to be added. Or the Bible wouldn't have said add to your faith virtue. And it didn't say add knowledge, but it's automatically there, right? Add to your faith virtue. In other words, add to your virtue knowledge, add to your knowledge temperance. All right. But see, it's not just automatically there. That's where I differ with most people of the message, the way they teach about the prophet's message. They say, Brother Branham said it, we got it. Well, he said Russia would come after oil one day and this whole thing would be blown apart. Well, but that's for later on. See there? You make it available for whatever you want it to be. But when Brother Branham would say, here's the headstone. I'm not saying it's coming. I'm saying it's here. Let me say with the prophet. I'm not saying it's coming. I'm saying it's here. Where's it at? Well, I don't know where it's at, but... Well, there's something wrong with you. All right, but you see what I'm talking about? So when he's saying automatically added, he didn't say it was automatically there. He said you get born again. And you eat the Word. It will automatically add these things. Because there's no way to achieve any of those virtues in a form of something that we can do or not do. Yeah. I mean, you say, we need patience. Tribulation worketh patience. Yeah. That's quickly to quote, but not to live. Because if that's the way we get it, then let's just line up, take our belts off, and each one take it time about running through the line and getting beat to death. Anybody want to do it? I haven't seen anybody get up yet, you know. No. No. So that's not what it's saying. These things are automatically added because of the opening of the Word. Just like the baby gains weight by eating the food. So is the growth development in a Christian. Now, and Brother and I were talking a while ago about it. Have you ever noticed that some preacher may be preaching some little simple something, you know, and yet God reveals something to you up in the seals or somewhere, you know. I mean, you're just sitting there and you're having no thought whatsoever. All at once, here comes a thought through your mind.
Right.
Well, he said that in a seal book.
Right.
Well, now, why did God do that? And yet, at another occasion, you might be thinking on the seals, and somebody is preaching a great, wonderful thing. And about that time, some little simple something that you never thought of before just be quickening to you.
Right.
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 Now, that's what I mean by just keep eating.
Right.
You know. Just keep eating and let God take care of it.
Right.
Yeah. You know, just keep on eating and God will... I believe now, and you know, I'm not bragging, I'm just telling the truth. If you got something, you don't have to brag. I don't like people to brag.
Right.
I have been within now about 15 pounds of the weight that I've been for over 35 years. I said 15, I used to be able to say 10. Now it's getting close to 20. Because I'm pushing a little more. But my point is, I don't believe in just overgorging yourself on one certain food. Now I'm trying to illustrate what God does about revealing His Word. How that He'll show you something from reading the seal book and something will be quickened away over here. I'm trying to illustrate that, right? Because that gets to the human mind. Okay. But you see, I have a system built within me that I eat so much sweets and when I get enough, I don't want no more. I don't have to have sweets every meal. I don't have to have, now let's go get something sweet. I don't have to have that. Lisa, she doesn't eat sweets a lot, but she'll just say, give me an extra helping of the green beans or the potatoes especially. See? Why? It's because your body and the way you're made. Now, some people just love sweets and they will just keep on eating though. And they'd rather have the sweets than have the meal. Right? See, it's because of the body and the way that it's made. Okay? And so is it within the spiritual body that everybody doesn't grow the same? We grow different. We have different desires of food to eat. Some of you like emotional type sermons. I'm not saying anything against that. I enjoy them too. Some of you are more settled and say, well, I'd just rather hear somebody teach or something, you know. But that's the difference in your appetite spiritually. All right? See, but I'm trying to get a point to you. See? I don't eat a lot of pork. I eat it. But I don't eat a lot of it. And I love pork. I mean, to me, there's no better meat in the world than pork. I love it. But I also have a little thing called blood pressure problem. And I know and realize that if I keep packing that pork in, I'm going to have more trouble with that blood pressure. And I don't believe in sanctifying my pork to where it won't make my blood pressure run up. Now, you may believe that, but I believe in sanctifying to keep it from killing you. I believe it's us dummies that keep adding the pork. Now, that's plain, blunt, but it's truth, right? See? So we should eat a balanced meal. Right? Okay. Well, we should eat a balanced meal in the spiritual extent. That's why I try my best to get people in that are emotional, because some of you like emotional sermons. I get someone in that's this style of ministry, that style of ministry. Why? To try to help you grow. And God has been so gracious to us to bring us great helps and understanding. All right? See? Because I believe that's what it takes. That's what I'm talking about, the opening of the Word. Now, Brother Branham had to come and bring the message. We believe that. We don't believe in getting nothing new or something different. No. The prophet brought it, like I've always told everybody. Man at my home was telling me about how they go out beyond Brother Branham. I said, how about you just telling me how to get up to the stature of a person, I mean to the future home. I said, Brother Branham taught us to the future home, which is after this world. Why don't you tell me something after then? He just kind of drawled down, you know. I said, tell me what the seventh seal is. He said, you the teacher, you tell me. I said, you know better than say stuff like that. I said, you know what you guys are doing, you're just riding on his coattail. I said, get in the message or get out of it one. And his wife was sitting there and said, you're right, Brother Dale. He needs to. You know. But the point I was trying to make to him and to you and I, Brother Branham brought the message. We don't have to look for a message. We don't have to hunt another prophet. We don't have to have someone to come and straighten Brother Branham out. I have challenged it around the world. Show me one contradiction in the prophet's message. But now, you're going to have to sit down with me and let's talk for a long time. Because you know you can pull out of your hat any kind of thing, but also I can too out of Scripture. I can say Judas went and hung himself, and you go do likewise. I just quoted the Scripture to you. But you know that's taken out of text. Take it and sit down and prayerfully pray, and I've never seen anything yet that would not come together. Amazing to me that a little bitty seventh grade education man or something, that he could hold it so together, it couldn't be the man.
Amen.
It ain't been the man that's talked to us, it's been God. So now you know what I'm talking about. I'm not making Brother Branham that. But the voice was used to speak to you and I. All right? See, then he had to leave the scene, though. Because the eyes was pierced upon him, waiting on him to do or to tell. Brother Branham, when them seven thunders are revealed to you, you'll tell us or something. No. He said, you don't understand. It was in what was already revealed. See? Brother Branham, you could write a 23rd chapter. He said, see there. He said, can't do that. We truly have had a prophet. Now listen, like I said this morning at the end of the message, then Peter was teaching those people in 2 Peter how to get where he was. And Paul, in his great writings, after going to the backside of the desert, Peter and him, they got to him the new birth. He got the new birth. But then he had to go out and let God teach him the growth development. But when he came back, he was preaching the same thing. All right. Now, even Peter said, Paul said, things hard to be understood. All right. But now listen. That way or understanding of the Bible was eaten away during the Dark Ages by those cankerworm, pommel worm, and things. They ate away the Word. It was not the Holy Ghost that was ate away. The Holy Ghost cannot be eaten away. But the Word can be. Because you can take away the ability to read. That deprives people of that. You take away by the ministry, preaching unto them their own ideas. That takes away. So it was lost in the Dark Ages. And Martin Luther came out. Maybe preached a message on 2 Peter. Add to your faith, virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience. And he had a partial realization of that scripture. But he didn't understand what Peter said. Truly. Yet he had partial. But see, here comes God sending a prophet. See, everybody think, Brother Branham just come to bring the seal, Brother Branham come to do that. No, he had to do restoration. He had to bring restoration. Alright? So he had to preach back to the people the truth of what the faith of the fathers was. And that's why I now look in Malachi 4. I know it's very familiar with you. But look what it says. We quote it a lot, but has it been quickened unto us? Okay? We quote this, and we quote 4, 5, and 6, and we just quote. Malachi 4, verse 5. Behold, I send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children. All right. Now that was John in Luke 1, 16, verse 17. John turned the Old Testament fathers to the New Testament message.
Right.
All right, so the fathers were turned to the message of the children.
That's right.
All right. Now, and the hearts of the children
right.
to their fathers.
That's right. Amen.
Now, here's the way Brother Branham said it. People say John the Baptist done both of these. I know this is familiar with these, but maybe not on our ways where it's going is not familiar. If John, and John was in the spirit of Elias, right? We know. And he turned the hearts of those Old Testament saints and pointed to Christ, the New Testament message, the children's bread. But see, people will say, well, John done both of them. Well, then if he did, he turned them right into the New Testament. And then he turned them right back to the old. That's plain sense. But if he turned the fathers to the children, and then took the children and turned them back to the fathers, then John would have turned them over to the New Testament, and then turned them back over to the Old Testament. That may be carnal to you, but it's good sense to me. But see, we know then it's a split condition. This is two entirely different people on earth. But the ministry of Elijah. So John was in the spirit and the power of Elijah or Elisha to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children. Introduce Christ, set away. Alright. Called the messenger of the covenant by Brother Branham. But see, then 2,000 years later almost, the fourth coming of Elijah,
right.
The promise, is to take and come back himself first, because the Bible says the husbandman must be first partakers of the fruit.
Yep.
Now, I can't preach to you something that's not revealed to me.
Right.
If I do, I'll goof it up like crazy.
Right.
So I wait. I wait and won't preach on things until God reveals it. Now, but see, in this day, Brother Branham first had to get back there himself.
Right. Yep.
He had to get back to the faith of the fathers.
Right.
And it took him 30, go to Statue of a Perfect Man, took him 30-something years to preach that message.
Right.
You know why? Because he was attaining unto it.
Right.
And he said, I got this just the other day on a message I was going to bring.
Right.
Now, if you've read it, you know that's direct quote out of Statue of a Perfect Man. He said, something I was going to preach on. So he got the Second Peter part to fit it together. Alright. Now once he got that, he didn't have to read Ephesians 4 that we must come to the stature of the fullness of Christ. He preached about the stature of Jesus Christ. The growth development of the individual. And he said, now, Peter's talking this to the church. He said, now here's how to build. Then he says in there, and I gave you the quote, he said, I didn't come to build organizations and things. He said, I come to build individuals into the stature of a perfect man.
Amen.
Now, but we know that he came and went on. So then the fivefold ministry becomes involved. Ephesians 4.
Right.
He gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of the Christ. In other words, to bring these things into the body. The message was handed from the prophet as he went on. Down to the fivefold ministry. To take that and break it down. That's why he stored up food. All of those things, it was there. But he had to go on. So he preached all the way to the future home. Then he had to go and lay in wait. And is waiting now for a fivefold ministry to bring the message back to the people like he brought it.
Right.
I don't have to worry about getting a message.
Right.
Now you understand what I'm saying. You search for a message because you want to preach certain the way God wants it. But I'm not trying to find a message. I'm trying to find out how to present the message. I'm trying to find out how to present what I see. what the prophet saw. All the honor and glory goes to him. But yet he goes off the scene. But yet what if he'd have preached only so far and passed on? Do you know that's all the place we could ever reach to? Come on. Then we're not prophets. You know, we're not the ones the word was to come to in that form. We're getting it from the prophet by way of the Holy Spirit. But see, he said what we would be like. On spoken word's original seed. He said this messenger would be pointing to the sky at the coming of a word-born bride. Alright. Now everybody talks about, we're the message, we're in the message. We're the word-born bride, we're here, the fullness is here. We believe in adoption, we believe in headstone, we believe all this. But I agree with Brother Richard Wilson, then where's all of the where's the manifestation supposed to follow? And that's talking to Lula too. Alright? That's talking to Lula. I believe God is among us and doing great things. But that's not what I want it to be. I want it to be a whole lot greater than that. And I won't be satisfied until He's living in every one of us. I don't care how mad I gotta make you. I mean, if going down there to Brother Orr and just pop the top of his head, you know, and just, come on, Brother Orr, get on with it. And he gets so mad at me because that, I just love him. I do it again the next time. Because I'm trying to help him. And you know I wouldn't do it. I'm trying to illustrate. I don't want nobody mad at me or upset at me. It hurts my heart. But I go away and I pray for you. Until I see that thing leave you. Then when I see it leave you, I'll go pray for somebody else. Right. All right. But now listen. The prophet was sent then to bring the message. The fivefold ministry is given to break the message down to the people. That's what he said.
Amen. Right.
He's the one that said it, and he quoted it. How many of you want where he quoted that the fivefold ministry is for the perfecting of the saints? I could probably turn back here and find you a few written in my Bible, but if you don't believe that, you're in bad shape anyway. Yeah. All right. But listen. But it was promised. I will send you Elijah the prophet. And he'll do these things. If he's sent to you. That's just like salvation is for everybody. But everybody's not going to receive salvation. That's even the fact that many are called. But only a few are chosen. Thank God for the chosen, not frozen, as a Presbyterian used to say. He used to call it chosen, frozen, but I didn't agree with that, and don't make no light out of it. You know, I believe there's been a little bride all the way down through there. All right, now listen. Then it would be left up to the prophet to tell us what it would take. Do you agree? See, now if we're going to believe him to be the prophet, we've got to believe him to be the channel that whereby God uses to speak to you and I to bring us to a position. So we see then that Malachi 4 is to turn the hearts of the children back to the faith of the fathers. But now what if you stopped right there? Now that's the height of the Old Testament. Right? That's the ending. That's the last verses of the Old Testament. So it ends showing you what the New Testament would have to be. That John the Baptist would turn the people to the message of Jesus. But then someone would have to come to turn us back to the faith of the Father. You know, and that ain't even taught in the message anymore. They don't mention the faith of the fathers. People are so far up that they don't. But just remember, you gotta have a foundation. All right? Forgive me now, being lengthy, but listen. So the Old Testament ends with, unless I do that, I'll smite the earth with a curse. And we see, man, looks like things are going pretty bad now. I was talking to Brother Richard Wilson this morning. I didn't know it was that far, but he said, The last he heard, there was 28,000 in that earthquake in China, and that over 50,000 were still missing. You know, it's like I tried to illustrate with you one time. You read the book of Revelations, and it talks about a horrible thing to take place. And it said 7,000 men die. That's in the book of Revelation. That one of the signs of the end is 7,000 men die. How much further are we along? 28,000. You know. But I mean, that's just, I'm just trying to illustrate. How much further are we along? But see, all I've ever tried to do is get you to read, to study of what the prophet has said to you.
Amen.
That's my goal. It doesn't bother me one bit for you to come up and tell me something I don't know. That tickles me to death. Because I pray every service I go to, everywhere I go, I pray, God, my soul is hungry. Feed me, Lord. Give me just a crumb. But you never failed. All right. But listen. So then he said he sent me to build individuals. Well, he's gone. But the message is not gone. That's why it says in Revelation 10 there, in the days of the voice of the seventh angel. It doesn't say in the days of the seventh angel. It says in days of the voice of the seventh angel. I'm trying to put scriptures just together and things to make a statement from Brother Branham to show you what's going on. But see, Malachi 4 ends with the basis of his faith of the turning the children back to the faith of the fathers. Now, Brother Branham was at that position in 1962, evidently because he was preaching the statue of a perfect man. And when he went beyond the curtain of time, those people back there were saying, you know, we're resting on this. And he said, did they teach one God? He said, yes. He said, I taught one God. He was showing us where he's at. He was back to the faith of the fathers. But he never stopped there. I'm trying to get you to see that he preached on. He never stopped at the faith of the fathers. That was where his ministry started. Because that was restoration. Brother Randall's message begun in the seals. Go to the rapture message. See if he didn't say it. Be glad to show you these things. His message begun in the seals. The other was restoration of back to what the apostles had taught. And then he brought his message. Right. See, then he went on through and went through the seals, went on through marriage and divorce, clean on out, future home. And we think the last sermon didn't amount to much. Last sermon, Brother Branham, they recorded with what? Communion. And we think, well, that doesn't mean too much. Looked like the last sermon would have been future home. No. Because the next thing we do when we leave out here in the marriage supper is communion. Right? All right in the scripture, like the brother was bringing last night down through the Bible. I really enjoyed it. But now listen. With the restoration of the Word will come restoration of power. Now that you ought to be able to look at the pyramid and read what it says. The first one there says virtue. What is virtue? Strength. Strength is what? Power. So that ought to click in to where you can see. With the restoration of the Word will come the restoration of these things. So the prophet had to keep preaching on. Beyond where we are. Beyond eternity, and telling us of the millennium and the things and the white throne, and then on up to the future home. Then he passes on and leaves all of those tapes. Don't you think they'd have been happy in the days of Martin Luther to have been able to got all the sermons of Martin Luther? I love to read them. I've read a few of John Wesley, and I really enjoyed them. But listen. Then what is to happen? You see what I'm talking about now? Listen, does everybody understand? Malachi 4, all it ends in the Old Testament speaking of, is to turn you back to the faith of the fathers. Now, the word faith, you remember here a while back, the word faith is only used just very rarely, sparingly in the Old Testament. Really, it's a phrase coming toward the New Testament. All right? Because it's a New Testament word. Because it's a revelation. Faith is a revelation. It's a substance. All right? So then the prophet brought the revelation. It's up to us to get into the message, the ministry, and preach to the people. But it doesn't end there. But Brother Brown said that's where they made the mistake. They took the power off the people, put it on the preacher. Now that's what he said. That's what happened in the Dark Ages. They took the power off the people, put it on the preacher, and said, let the preacher be it. I'm trying my best to turn that back around. You see, most of the preachers in this message are glorying in that they are the preacher. According to my Bible, the preacher is a servant. A servant, not a master. You are my master. You are my employer. As being pastor, you're over me. And I'm going to be responsible for you, but you don't have to be responsible for me. You see why I croak so much about the word, holler about it. But listen. So then this messenger of Malachi 4, he didn't stop. That's just where he started. He wasn't doing restoration when he was preaching Future Home, Christ of Mystery. Who is this Melchizedek? That wasn't restoration. Come on. Because those things wasn't back there in the perfect realization. Paul, and then Paul, the best that could be understood of Melchizedek. He called him a man and everything. Do you think he understood what Brother Branham did about Melchizedek? No way, I don't think so. So from 63 on, he was bringing the word of the kingdom. The gospel that had never been preached to mankind was being brought. And yet he had to die and go on. That's up to you and I to catch that. Not added revelation. Those are garbage cans. Just get what the prophet said about it. All right. So let's go now and just read a statement, and then you'll clarify what I'm trying to get you to see. It's 327 Church Age book. Yeah, 327. You'll find it on number 3 of this afternoon's notes of what we got. It's in the Church Age book, page 327. Listen to what he said. Now this messenger of Malachi 4 and Revelation 10:7. Now look how close he was. See, a lot of people don't agree with the Church Age book, don't think it's right. But when the prophet read it and okayed it, I don't have no problem. Listen. This messenger of Malachi 4 and Revelation 10:7. Now he's taking you and saying, in other words, Malachi 4 to bring you up to the faith of the fathers, but what's going to take you on? Revelation 10:7. Days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he gives the sound of the mystery of God shall be revealed to his servants, the prophets. So listen to him. Now this messenger of Malachi 4 and Revelation 10:7 is going to do two things. One, according to Malachi 4, he will turn the hearts of the children to the fathers. That's what we just read. Two, he will reveal the mysteries of the seven thunders in Revelation 10, which are the revelations contained in the seven seals. Now that's simple. If you don't know what the thunders are, it's a revelation contained in the seven seal. That's what he just said. But now watch. It will be these divinely revealed mystery truths that literally, which means word by word, literally turn the hearts of the children to the Pentecostal fathers, exactly so.
Amen.
Now we got an opportunity.
Right.
We can go beyond the faith of the fathers. Because the messenger of Malachi 4 and Revelation 10:7 is going to do two things. So now watch what he's saying at the lights. It'll be these revealed truths that literally turn you back. All right, what's he saying? Plain language to me. Brother Branham came and brought the message and went on. Died and went on to the grave. Right? You can be studying the seals and God speak to you about stature of perfect man. You can be studying stature of perfect man and he speak to you about seals. Why? Because now he's doing two things. He's going to bring to you and I the faith of the fathers. And to do that, he's going to have to do it by the opening of the entire word. That you and I can have the ability to receive. Without the preaching of the seals, the thing that everybody's running from. They're scared to talk about Daniel 70 weeks. The seals, marriage and divorce. Are in it. They're scared to get into it. Why? The prophet said it. Why can't we believe it? But see, he's going to do two things. If he'd done one thing, we'd just be turned back to faith of the fathers. But he preached on. All the way to the future home, stored up the food. Now it's left up to you and I.
Amen.
Left up to the fivefold ministry to preach the way the prophet preached it.
Right.
Left up to the laity to believe it the way the prophet preached it. And now listen, then that's the way you grow in the stature of a perfect man.
Right.
Now we'll get to the virtues later. But that's the way you grow into the stature of a perfect man.
Right.
How? Simple faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word.
Right.
Listening to the prophet, listening to the fivefold ministry preached by the same Holy Spirit,
right.
The truth of the message of the hour, and that will just start building us up.
Right.
That's what it's doing to us.
Amen.
It doesn't look like, you know. I mean, you look in a mirror and you get home, you say, well, I don't look like I've grown any. Right? Maybe, yeah. But it didn't add any to your height. That's stature. But see, you look around and you think you don't know nothing. Right? You think, well, I just don't know anything about this message. But if you don't know anything about the message, why did you not stay where you was? Because everybody here outside of my family and just maybe, well, Brother Collett and them, they still had come from denominations. And him and Brother Daugherty there, the ones that we started here together. All of you come from somewhere. All of you come from another church somewhere. Why? Well, we didn't have nowhere else to go. Well, that's a good excuse. Ride that for a while until you get into the message and see what's going on. Don't do like the brother did that was out in California and said, I left California to come to Lula to follow the Lula thing. I said, that's where you messed up. I said, there ain't no Lula thing. It's a Jesus thing, not a Lula thing. All I've ever tried to do is preach the prophet's message. To bring that message to where you and I could have an understanding. Now give me, as the brother said last night, let me get my coat. He said, I'm going to put my coat on. In other words, illustrating he was about through. Because he done said two or three times, give me 5 minutes, give me 5 minutes, give me 5 minutes. Just give me a minute, we'll be through. Let me illustrate to you what I was going to get to in this morning's message. All right? Now, a lot of this will have to be statements of Brother Dale. But see if it fits. If it does, why should we worry? Most of you know what I'm fixing to say anyway, and you've been through it and everything. But see, Brother Branham made a statement. I gave you the quote out of the seal book. He said there was a mysterious part about justification, a mysterious part about sanctification, and a mysterious part about the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I think, what is it, 235 seal book? Somebody grab that in a hurry for me. It's out of the seal book, I know. Third seal, page 237. All right. A mysterious part. Well, now we know for a certainty that Martin Luther never reached the fullest of understanding of justification. If he had, we would just only be preaching what he done. All right. Now, so by him doing that, he received a partial realization. So everything we get begins as a partial realization and continues on in growth development unto a perfect realization, right? Just like a baby, partial realization grows up into an adult. Partial to perfect. Everything goes that way. That's the way I teach the message. That's the only way I can follow it. So you grab something and throw it away over here to me, and I look at that. Looks good. Now how'd you get there? Back up over here and tell me how you got there. Brother Dick, he come along and said, Brother Dale, I've been on Times Square. I said, well, Brother Dick, I'm going to Times Square. How did I get there? Well, I don't really know. You know what I'd say to him? You ain't been there. That's just what I'd say. You ain't been there, because if you've been there, you can tell me how to get there. Right? That should be simple illustration. All right. But go back and read the invisible union of the bride of Christ. And listen to the prophet, and he'll explain these things. And that was what the person wanted me to comment on justification in three stages, sanctification in three stages, the baptism of the Holy Ghost in three stages. All right. So now let's take that as partial realization to perfect realization. Let's take it as the part that Martin Luther had a partial realization of justification. Right? But the Azusa Street Pentecost had a deeper meaning of justification. And then you and I, in the message of the hour, of really understanding what the prophet said when he said, justified doesn't mean that you're forgiven.
Right.
It means though you never done it.
Right.
And he said, then the real you never did do it.
Right.
Now go read the Invisible Union and you'll find those three things. So justification is by faith in the Word of God and what God has done for you. Right. Chops off your past sins. That's what it does. It wipes the slate clean. There's nothing there against you. It's gone. Because you're justified. Clean off what was there. Does nothing to your future. But see, then you come into the body of Christ. And when you come into the body of Christ, you realize justification. And it comes by the new birth. Being justified, Paul said, freely.
Amen.
Now take that scripture. Keep on letting it grow.
Right.
And then the prophet, like I said, in the Invisible Union, he starts off talking about justification. Chop off the pies. He said, but that's really not the meaning. He said, then you come to the place to where that you were justified because you done it, but yet it's totally wiped away. And he says, though you never done it. Then after a while, he's covering it and he says, the real you never did do it.
Amen.
Now the real you's the baptism of the Holy Ghost, right?
Amen.
So there's justification in three stages under partial realization to perfect. All right. Sanctification. Now what am I trying to do? I'm trying to illustrate the growth development this message must bring to you and I.
Right.
Do you understand?
Amen.
So in sanctification. Sanctification, what does it do? Cleanse and set aside.
Right?
You must do that before you can be born again. Then Paul and him taught a daily sanctification. Cleansing by the washing of the water of the Word. But see, Brother Branham took sanctification all the way through the planting of the seed and how your name would be written in the book of life at sanctification. Takes it all the way to that this world will have to be so purged one day in the tribulation until we can come back in the millennium. So he covers three stages of sanctification. Growth development, partial to perfect. The baptism of the Holy Ghost. You get the baptism of the Holy Ghost. That's a new birth.
Right.
Amen. Comes by faith in God, but it's not just believing God. Comes by faith in God and God accepting you.
Right.
You see, then Paul, or Peter, excuse me, said, being born again. So what's happening?
Right.
Up to the stature of a perfect man, you're being born again. You can call each one of them a birth. You can call them a birth. A birth of virtue, a birth of knowledge, a birth of death. You can call them that. But one day we're going to get a body change. Which will be such a fiery baptism of the Holy Ghost, it'll burn out every fiber of our being. Because that's what it's going to do with the world too. He said, well, Brother Dale, there's some of them things that I can't get Brother Branham to say. Just keep reading, but ask for a revelation. But what I'm trying to do is illustrate how growth development goes from partial to perfect. A baby born, it eats, it just keeps growing. A spiritual baby, it's born, it eats, it just keeps growing. When we all come to the stature of the fullness of Jesus Christ, around the world, not just in Lula, around the world, for whatever part of the body of Christ we are, and we reach our place. Let's don't worry about the portion that's supposed to be in China, Africa, India, or something. You know, worry about Lula, Georgia. To attain to a position in a growth development to where we can say that we're born again. That when we walk off this earth, we can say we're born again. The prophet said it would fill every fiber of our being. Such a baptism of the Holy Ghost. It'll burn out everything that ain't right exactly. Put us into that position. But it's not going to come in that phase until we come up the stature of a perfect man. So these things are required. Not to just be talked of. But how do you get them? How do you get patience? How do you get temperance? You say, well, Brother Dale, I've always been taught that when I got the Holy Ghost, I didn't have no more temper. Well, why is there temperance in the pyramid then? The prophet said, that's not your uncontrollable temper now. That ought to went out with a new birth. We'll get to that going through the virtues. But see, there's a lot of things left in you and I that need to be cleansed out. And that's done by the growth development of the Word. In other words, I'm trying to say one thing. Come on, Brother D. I'm trying to say one thing. A lot of times we don't know what's going on, but God, He's right on time. Right? Right on time. Come on, Brother Boy, what I mean. I get these days mixed up. You know what I mean, so do it. But listen. Just simply taking a little illustration of partial to perfect. Like I was saying there a few moments ago, you think you don't know anything. But yet, you go sit down with somebody in some of these other churches, and something inside of you says, that ain't right. That ain't right. That ain't right. That ain't right. The first thing you know is you become a know-it-all to everybody else. They don't want to hear you talk because you don't even talk their language. You think you don't know nothing. Just go out there a little while and sit down and listen. You know a whole lot more. And like I said a while ago, what are you doing here? Sure ain't no beautiful thing. Sure ain't no fancy makeup like they're doing in all the churches today in the message, and I have nothing against building new buildings. We could have one if we wanted it. But I'd rather send the money to the missionary field. We'll do what we can and build on. If we can't get that thing up there built on with what money we got, it'll sit there until we get the money to do it. And won't worry about it. Because listen, I'm not trying to build a church, I'm trying to build a kingdom. And the prophet's already told us, he come to build individuals. Right. What's my job?
Right.
Just take his message and deliver it to you. Take what he says and deliver it to you. Just like I would in natural food. Just like we would in natural food. They just give it to you. So, but Brother Dale, a lot of these preachers has run out and this, that, and the other. Well, it's never run out here, I'm just sorry to tell you. And to tell you, something happened one time, and I just thought of this, and I'll say it. We was having a meeting here one time, and we looked like we didn't have no food. Some of you can remember years ago. And I said, put it out, we'll have some. We prayed over that food, and we fed the whole crowd that was here and had food left over. He can multiply it. He can multiply the spiritual. If we just keep eating. Let's stand, I'm sorry. Come in, Brother Boy. Anybody have a need? Because we have the shower coming up with the sisters, so anybody have a need? Let's just... That longing in your soul. Anybody have a need? Anybody have a need? Your soul. Only Jesus can satisfy your soul. And only He can change your heart and make you whole. He'll give you peace you never knew, right? Love and joy in efforts to. Put one of these in all the vehicles and all of the things. Father, we, Lord, believe that you will take care of all of our needs, and our brother has asked us to pray that you would be with Ashley and them as they travel and all the things, and all of the wedding, all of the things would take place. So we commit it to you and believe in your safety and love. In Jesus' name. Amen. Anybody else? And only can change your heart and make you whole. Father, you heard our brother. We pray that all things will be all right. The cardiogram, the knees, the problem. But we believe you. We've seen you do it before. No problem to do it again. We love you and we thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Anybody else? Just believe it. And make you whole. Father, Lord Jesus, we lay our hands upon our brother. He said, just pray for me. Father, you prayed for us. You prayed there in the garden, not for your own self, but you prayed for us, for those that would come on after. You told Peter, said, Lord, I've prayed for you. And Lord, you prayed for us. Now we just do the same and pray for our brother, that whatever our brother has need of, that you would just reach down and just, Father, be unto him the thing that you would want to be. We ask you to just touch our brother, Father, and touch his home, his family. In Jesus is your name. Anybody else? Think about it. Only Jesus. Do you believe? I believe it is the right one. Father, our sister wants an answer that she's doing the right thing. We would think she is, but that might not be what you think. So we just commit it to you, Father, and that you just take care of everything. You have your way now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I believe all will be well. Only Jesus can satisfy my soul. Anybody else? Father, these old ribs is acting up again. We've seen you put them in place and everything to be well so many times. And now, Father, we're asking you one more time to do it again. And to finish the work of Calvary and bring it all to the place that all is well. We love you and we thank you. In Jesus is your name. Anybody else? By your soul, and only he can break your heart and make you whole. Just believe. Peace you never knew. Let's just pray that God will work out everything the way he wants done, right? Because that's what we believe. Father, our brother has a need. And Lord, they may need him at home, but he may want to stay here. Whatever it be. We just want your will to be done.
Amen.
And your way, Lord, to be made manifest. And we believe with our brother that you will work out this to where it'll be for your honor and glory.
Amen.
And for his best. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Anybody else? Can satisfy your soul. You believe that? Only Jesus can satisfy your soul. Amen. Remember the sisters now are having a shower. And they'll be going downstairs. So brothers, please keep your children out from the place where they're having the shower, and please stay out of there yourself, and everything, if you need anything, let it be done somewhere else, that the sisters may get on with their showers and things. We appreciate the love of God one to the other, right? Amen. Just remember and pray that God would bless. Father, we love you, we thank you, we cherish you. We believe, Father, that what we said today was worthy of being said. If it wasn't, then forgive me, I tried. Father, just make manifest your word among us. Your healings, your signs, your wonders, your miracles, we expect it. We have no right to do anything other than to believe that you are the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and that the one who would heal and deliver and guide each and every one. Just be with us and take care of everything. Be, Lord, with everybody on the way home, give a safe journey, and let your love be made manifest in Jesus' name. Amen. You're dismissed.